didn't do the intro. But anyway, ready, 3, 2, 1, intro. So, hey everyone, again, for the second time in like 2 minutes, happy Friday. Welcome to Digital Catch Rundown, episode 135, I believe. Carlos Cano joins us again. How's it going, man?
Well, good, and you? Now that we're talking about SVF, have people ever told you that you kind of look a little bit like Hispanic? Yes. SVF?
Very mean people have. The problem is, like, the pale skin and curly hair are what we have in common. But he looks like weird and disgusting, and I don't yet look weird and disgusting. Give it a few more years. So
I get a I vouch for that.
Yeah.
Although it was weird to see him look a lot cleaner as he was like, oh, as yeah, they took the last picture after he got his sentencing. He did look like a proper BC. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I look like that guy. Let's just go with that. But before we hit the first story, just as a quick reminder, if you're in my Discord, you could go to the Digital Catch Rundown channel and then type in the super chat. You can also do it on YouTube and Odyssey with Dirty Old Fiat, and I will, rest assured, get crypto out of it. That's fine. So all that being said, oops, let us flip to the first story. Just real quick, the announcement came from Inner City Press, who is a great Twitter account. That has been kind of following along with the play-by-play. This alert courtroom deputy, we've seen the note from the jury. They reached a verdict, and blah, blah, blah. Everyone, please rise. Count one, guilty. Count two, guilty. Count seven. All seven counts, guilty for Sam Bankman-Fried on all kinds
of... Do we have a list of all seven? Let me see if I can find that.
Not currently, but you can see if you can find it quicker. Yeah. I will ask some other stuff.
Go for it. Guilty on counts of fraud and conspiracy. But I want the full list.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely conspiracy there. He made sure to blame his ex-girlfriend in every single step of the way. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to hope she's his ex. You don't want to still be with that guy.
Yeah. Seven counts of fraud and conspiracy. Which is, I'm sure it's frustrating for people.
To not. Man, like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get like the ChatGPT AI.
It's six counts related to fraud and one count related to money laundering. I guess there's like six different specific allegations on fraud. Like this was fraud, that was fraud, the other thing was fraud, and then in one count, money laundering. So, yeah.
Right. And there's definitely some bits that are for Alameda, then other bits that are for FTX itself, then mm-hmm. probably like insider trading. The whole shebang, we know it. But yeah, we were talking before actually jumping on the podcast about whether he'll make it to jail, what's going to happen to him actually. What do you think?
My guess, first off, I saw some talk about his advisors are trying to get Joe Biden to pardon him, which I...
What?
I mean, wouldn't you? I'd try, but it's not happening. I don't think so. Because as much as I would think the current U.S. administration owes a lot to SBF as far as, you know, being in power. I don't think it's a politically smart move to...
Of course not. To admit that that guy's your backer, to admit that he can pull strings with you, yeah, that's a horrible move. Some, they may make it.
Yeah, so my estimation is... Which means I think he's going to prison, and I think he's going to survive, right?
Okay.
And I think he's going to survive for many years, and I think he'll be out relatively early, but not like not like a year or two early, but like 5-8 years early, like 5 and 5-8 years, something like that. After he cooperates and does a whole bunch of stuff, I think he'll go to prison, he'll survive, and he'll be out within 8 years. Let me just say that. That's a prediction. I have no data behind this. It's just a thought. What do you think?
That's 2031. Yeah, actually something similar, although I would not totally discount that he leaves this world at some point in mm-hmm. between now and going to jail. It says here that four of the counts were: 1, wire fraud; 2, conspiracy to commit wire fraud; 3, money laundering; 4, fraud and conspiracy. So didn't really get any real answer. But to leave that whole thing, yeah, something like 8 years and then come out sounds possible. They do say that rich people never actually serve much time. What I wonder, though, is how rich he still is, because I don't know to what extent all the money got taken out of his hands. And for some reason, I have never seen the possibility of him just stashing some cash, you know, behind the sofa or whatever. Like, it does seem like he did try to make everything seem legit to the extent that he never actually, you know, got anything out through other means. So that's funny to think that the guy might actually, and his parents might actually be poor at this time.
Yeah, maybe. I think he has access to plenty of money. I mean, who is paying his lawyers? Think about that.
Right.
But serving time. The thing is, the equation always gets to when you hit this level. We're not talking about us, like regular people. We're talking about these kinds of people. When you hit this level, there's two very different ways it could go. Either you are useful enough that you basically don't ever serve much time at all. And it's very easy because you find a way to full cooperation and all kinds of stuff, and you give away, you just sell out all your friends, and all that kind of stuff. And then the other way is you just, like, you know, hang yourself in a prison cell, you know, because Hillary Clinton doesn't like you. there's those two ways, right? And so the thing is, SBF, I think he could go either way, to be honest. Although, like, he knows enough about enough people to where he could be a liability, like to where he could actually, like, the connections he has that we know. Let me just throw up this tweet by Jeffrey Tucker for just a second, because that's an interesting perspective. He says, it's limited to hang out to render the SBF FTX caper as a financial scam. It was designed as a political money laundering operation for the Democratic National Committee /Pharma, with pandemic planning and effective altruism as a cover. Vastly more people were involved than have been publicly exposed yet. Now, he's making some bold claims. Not all, you know, not all of it is, it's definitely not a nuanced point of view. But the point is, this goes pretty deep, I'm sure, as far as, like, all the people that helped him get to the top and their motivations and things. And I think that even though I don't think he would sell out everyone unless it would literally get him out of jail, I don't think that he will sell people out, but the fact that he can means that there's a possibility that that's it for him. On the other hand, if he uses this to try to help take down parts of the crypto industry, which unfortunately almost everyone had some tie to FTX, and so right. if he uses this to cooperate with all, like, the evil people in the government to try to take down all of crypto or cause as much damage as possible. If he has something that's useful, then he could do, like, I wouldn't even say like the 8 years, but then he could maybe do less.
That's another thing. Okay, he has definitely ties with Binance, who is a big... Okay, CC has a very big target on his back lately, actually. So this might be a way for them to come after Binance after all. That's one big one. Then there's a whole Sam Trabuco side story, which, like, dude must have definitely been intelligent, because he got mentioned basically nowhere. He didn't even went to the to testify, didn't get any, you know, he didn't get looked at, basically. What's your take on the on that whole thing?
Yeah, it's very mysterious. However, I think that with the involvement, I mean, I'm going to take the anti-conspiracy theory take on the Trabugo thing, is I think that he was involved, obviously knew some shady things were going on. At some point, the risk tolerance was just not in his favor. He just decided to get out before things got too crazy. And then he got out right in time. And there's enough evidence to maybe investigate him or whatever like that. He's probably out of the country or something. He's probably just gone. But there's not enough to be like, he's not the big fish. Like, it's not worth chasing him and prosecuting him, because the crimes he get charged with are like much lower than even SBF's girlfriend, right? Which, that's the other funny thing, is that's a slap on the wrist kind of a situation where she might not even see any prison time, where because she just turned on him with everything. Now, that's what makes me not think that he's going to get out really quick, because he wanted to be that guy. He wanted, like, you can't both sell out. You know, one person gets the golden ticket out of this. There's only one Judas, right? And so that slot is taken, so he's screwed.
That slot's definitely taken. Dude, yeah, no. There were some people discussing yesterday on my LinkedIn feed about whether this thing is good or bad for crypto. I think it's pretty neutral. I don't think it's going to cause, it's going to actually have any effect besides what we just said. The possibility of some helping, of trying to cooperate with authorities to go after other players. But do you think we'll see any actual waves or ripples when it comes to this whole thing?
I think, do I expect anything? I don't know. I don't think I expect anything too crazy to come out of this immediate aftermath. I do think that there will probably be, like, first off, Binance. I don't know if Binance is going down, but Binance in the US is definitely, like, not going to work out. And I think that SBF is probably going to help them out with that. And that's one ripple that we could see from this thing. And I also think that all of the majorly impacted organizations like Digital Currency Group and things like that will do much poorer after this trial is over. But as far as the rest of the space, I think that other than like Elizabeth Warren beating some war drums, the fact that they're going after, like, you know, oh, they're funding Hamas with this, is like, they don't have a lot to go on these days. So
yeah, true.
Yeah. This is actually like, this could be a much worse outcome for crypto, because he was trying to get to number one so he could screw all the industry. And be like, but then when their pro-regulation guy got, you know, he fell from grace, that kind of like put some brakes on the whole thing. Not a lot, but some. So I think we're getting close to the end of the negative effects from this individual in crypto. But maybe I'll be completely wrong on that. The thing is, though, what no one wants to think about is so much of crypto, maybe not today, but definitely back in the day, from everything I've heard, was operated like FTX, where customer deposits, who cares, print more here, do this token here, a bunch of weird shenanigans, weird funding, money laundering things to get out of stuff. Pretty much every major crypto exchange probably was mostly that forever. And then even when you get to like Coinbase and stuff like that, the more polished, you know, suit and tie, respectable exchanges, you can tell they took some sort of listing fees, even if they didn't take them directly. They had some kind of a thing. And I mean, I've had some conversations about that. I can't talk about that too much. But the point is, there's other stuff. You could tell they had their earn program, where if you give them a whole lot, like, lot of money, then they will pay their customers to learn about your stuff, like through like a blog series and stuff. And then there's some weird like listing choices, obviously starting with Charlie Lee with Litecoin. But then you definitely had things like when could you withdraw your Bitcoin Cash after the split, and you know, just the timing of market stuff. There's been a lot of people have been crying shenanigans for a while, and that's not the best of these. Now imagine all the rest, and maybe like Tether. I mean, everyone knows Tether is a big problem, but no one. It's going to take something big to like knock them off, and maybe SBF has some dirt on that. I don't know though.
Do you think couldn't it be that Tether is actually cleaner than we think? Because you would think that that's the one big target, and for some reason it hasn't really been targeted. It hasn't really faced the amount of pushback that you would think it would, given that crypto itself seems to try to get rid of it at some points. I don't know. Don't you think Tether might be more solid than we think?
The question is, Tether solid? Depends on, you know, depends on your definition of solid, in which way. So I think that Tether has historically proven to be very solid as far as a very profitable entity with a very capable team that has gotten it to navigate all the challenges before it. In that case, yes, it's very solid. In case of like not fraudulent, I don't think so. That's the other thing. Because what we thought Tether was, and I think the average person thinks it is a one-for-one backed dollar representative, meaning Tether has bank accounts. You give them $1,000 and you get 1,000 Tethers out of that. And that's literally how it works. I think that's the way people imagine it. It's very far from that. Admittedly, it's only partially backed by, quote, real dollars in the bank and a bunch of other things like securities and things like that. And I haven't been up on it, but it might include Bitcoin as well. And I think that, first off, it makes a lot of money. So if you have some turbulence, the business model is so solid that you can just use some profits and just to cover the turbulence. But I think the model of just allowing people to, you know, not only the cash cow that it is, but also the fact that they're so tied with, you know, Bitfinex and Bitcoin as a whole, that they can print a lot of Tether, dump them on Bitfinex, you know, from nothing, dump them on Bitfinex and buy Bitcoin. The price of Bitcoin goes up, so therefore the value of their reserves, which wasn't enough to cover the new Tether, now is. How solid their ability to use that manipulation model, get a lot of this speculation, but it's probably true. How solidly they could do that model, combined with just how much money they make as a business that they can have some padding, I think that they're pretty solid. But I don't think they're solid as in if they get investigated and actually audited and all this kind of stuff. And if regulators come after them, I think they're the last thing. They're the furthest thing from solid.
That might actually be a pretty good segue into the FedNow thing. So do you want to jump on that?
Let's hit that thing up because it's kind of interesting. I have very little information on this thing, but just putting up the tweet thing. So Bitcoin Magazine, who I've had an antagonistic relationship with as of late, but whatever. Breaking, Federal Reserve threatens to sue Bitcoin Magazine in an attempt to silence criticism of its FedNow service. The Federal Reserve is threatening to sue Bitcoin Magazine, alleging that apparel that parodies its FedNow system is not protected speech, but copyright infringement. And it says, cease and desist, FedNow, and has this little icon thing. I haven't seen their merch too much, but it does seem like it's pretty... BitMEX is asking. So Here's from the shop, right?
Let me ask you a couple questions about this thing. Because, like, living outside of the U.S., I have never, ever, ever heard anyone that isn't, you know, American and on the internet talking about FedNow. Is it a big deal in the States? Do people actually care about this shit?
That's a complicated question to answer, but basically, no. Almost no one knows it exists. Now, the concept of a CBDC is, I feel, very well known universally. Like, most people know what that is. The entire right side of the political spectrum, and libertarians obviously, know CBDC is bad. And the center and the left just think it's like, oh, it's a thing that's going to happen. But like, that's so in that case, if you could say awareness of FedNow is very high, but no one, like, it's only like crypto nerds and the occasional like conspiracy theorist, like blogger that actually know what it is. And so,
which is also a big intersection with crypto nerd.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, but like the average crypto person, if you say, what is FedNow, they might know.
Yeah,
but but the average CBDC hater does not know what it is. And I would say it's arguable that it is a CBDC and that it is it is active right now as we speak. It's supposedly rolling out to a bunch of banks. So it's like a bank-to-bank settlement way of keeping track of stuff. And I don't, you know, who knows, is that a CBDC or not? But whatever. The point is, it's there, so like, it's out, and
when you search for it, what the Fed says is that this is a service for instant payments built by the Federal Reserve to help make everyday payments fast and convenient for American households and businesses. Then it starts talking about banks and credit unions, which are obviously not households. I mean, it does seem like they do want to eventually make this like a thing that everyone uses, aka a CBDC. But right now, I don't think anyone cares at all. I don't think anyone actually, you know, knows about this thing. And worse so, Fed is just a horrible branding. Like, why would you want to stamp a name like that on something that you expect everyone to use? Like, isn't it like, I don't think anyone would make a case for the Fed being a good thing. Most people, at best, I think, would consider it like a necessary evil. But I don't know. Why would you even stamp that name on top of like pay rails for everyone?
Yeah, no one knows about the Federal Reserve. It used to be the Federal Reserve was purely a talking point by like Ron Paul, like libertarians. Like, right, no one else even knew it existed. Now everyone other than economists and like people who read the Wall Street Journal have like seen it like mentioned, but that's it. But now it's more in the public consciousness, but as far as the Federal Reserve being evil is like, or just questionable or doing things wrong, like that's very niche still. And so the Fed, people might think Fed could be the Federal Reserve, but it could be the federal government. And sure, it doesn't have the best reputation, but it doesn't have a reputation as not worthy of existing outside of, you know, liberty circles. So the thing is, no one's going to download a FedNow app. Like, and this is where we start to think about, like, how do CBDCs work with payment infrastructure as a whole? I think a lot of people think that there's going to be this like magical CBDC rollout, and then you have to get some new app, and just it's going to be CBDC coins. It's not going to be US dollars. It's going to be something else. And people are going to think it's very explicit. Although, like, from my understanding, the FedNow system does allow, like, not only transfers between financial institutions, but it does allow, like, I guess, accounts for individual users, because I know it did have, although backend, obviously. And so I know it did. They were advertising the ability for the FedNow service to basically selectively prevent users from spending their funds. because of, in case they owed money to something. So let's just say you're in debt. They're basically advertising to banks and institutions, hey, if your customer is in debt, you can automatically prevent him from spending his money on anything other than food, maybe, or in servicing the debt. And just like, so if they're advertising that for individuals, obviously it's a, not just a institution to institution payment rail, but it's a payment rail that keeps track of individual user accounts. So then if you try to open up an account with a different bank, I think it's still tied to your FedNow alias or whatever.
And right, say, exactly.
Oh yeah, we all the debt still carries with you and stuff, like, never mind. And so I think that, and now contrast that to what if it's like an Ethereum fork or something, or an Ethereum stablecoin with all this stuff programmed in, but then it just uses a back-end accounting system for all the same bank apps. I mean, do you think there would even be a meaningful difference between those two scenarios?
Well, depends on how public the Ethereum fork is, right? But yeah, I think I hadn't considered that this might be just like the very beginning of basically having a layer one for all your money operations in fiat. And that's pretty scary. I mean, and then you would say there would be no way to get out of that. The alternatives, though, they do not seem a lot nicer. I think obviously you're living on crypto and you have like your whole experience dealing with all of that. But do you think there's a viable alternative to basically just let the government do whatever they want at this point in time? Because arguably a lot of the systems that people who do live in crypto use do end up depending on some sort of conversion system. And if in the end that ends up using a layer one, like FedNow, if we can call it that, then basically all your crypto activity gets put on top of something like this, isn't it?
Sort of. So first off, the alternative, the option of doing nothing, it doesn't help you avoid this. If you don't change your behavior in the slightest, you're going to be using FedNow. It's just, that's it. All the payment apps, the legacy apps, that's it. Now, if you live on crypto, that's an entirely different story. But that does take into account some like nuances and stuff. So for example, let's say you do the basic level, live on crypto stuff, which is you crypto bank, as I call it. You got a crypto.com account and a card and a Coinbase account and a card or whatever else, a custodial KYC platform with a card that you can use to spend. In that case, all your payments are all, assuming FedNow is what everyone uses, all your payments are now logged through FedNow and your KYC and all that kind of stuff. So it's basically that. The only difference maybe is if you can still withdraw your crypto. First off, it's denominated in crypto and not dollars. But then also, if you can withdraw your crypto, even though that has been like through has been analytically linked to your FedNow profile, once it's in your private possession, it can't be confiscated automatically. They have to like go after you and take it. And so then it's kind of like a cash withdrawal from your bank account, even though your bank account is all KYC. But if you get cash out of it, they know how much you got out, but then what you do with it there, you know, might be a little darker. So that's that scenario. The next scenario is if it's non-custodial, but still you spend everything through KYC stuff. So then they can tell all your payments are tracked because you use a KYC debit card, and then you just load your crypto on there. So they know how much crypto you bought or earned because you have like a KYC job. And then they know how much you spend because it goes there. And then they can watch the in-between if they're really watching. So if they try to censor your transactions, though, at least all your money is still in your possession. And then you start doing other things and they can watch that but not censor it directly, of course. But then if you start using other things, like start using some more privacy, you know, including methods, or you start spending crypto directly and all this kind of stuff, then that's when the connection starts to break. And then in that case, you wouldn't necessarily have the same CBDC profile. Like, you wouldn't have, I guess, FedNow. Every time you get some anonymous prepaid card, even if they figure out it's you, that probably wouldn't show up connected to your FedNow profile. That would be like some IRS or FBI like file on you somewhere that connects all these things and keeps a record. So that would be a completely separate thing. So as far as opting out of using FedNow, I think that if you have crypto, you hold crypto in your own, you know, possession, and you spend not entirely through a KYC payment system, then you're not reliant on the system, that you're not like a fully locked in FedNow person. Doesn't mean you have perfect control or privacy, but as long as, like, say half of your stuff doesn't use a KYC payment rail, then you're kind of out of it. So I don't know, that's the best we can do, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, you're right with the overarching point that if you're using crypto, even if you're, if you have this thing like as the base layer of the system, on the crypto part, at least on the middle layer, then you actually have the ability to use permissionless money because it's all run in crypto rails and not in FedNow rails. It does fuck 99% of the population on both ends of the sandwich that is like crypto payments, and then on top and on the bottom you have FedNow. But that's interesting. Going back to the original news, which is Bitcoin Magazine being censored for talking shit about FedNow. What did they try to achieve? Or do we know what Bitcoin Magazine said about FedNow?
I'll send you the link to the... They sold apparel. That's what they did. They sold clothes. And I think that they're... Part of it is just they don't... Here, I sent you the link. Part of it is it's just... they don't like people making money off of their branding, even though this is not what the FedNow
logo... Well, that's the excuse. Yeah.
It doesn't have a logo. But also, I think that because FedNow is such a background brand, right? It's just for like for institutions and things like that. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin Magazine probably, I mean, I hate to sound like I'm giving them so much credit here, but they probably probably control the FedNow public brand right now. Because no one else is like talking about FedNow specifically with imagery and putting it out there as much as that they are. They're way more.
I think that's definitely way too much credit.
Yeah, but it's probably unfortunately true, right? Like, no one else is like, people have talked about it, but few other people have done graphics about with the logo and stuff, and then they're running a business out of selling it. So I think the Federal Reserve just wants to make sure that whatever association people have with FedNow, that their association is number one. And so they don't like that Bitcoin Magazine is taking their number one spot. So, but either way,
If they spin this correctly, they're going to sell a ton of merch based on this piece of news. And it's actually, can you imagine this was actually FedNow's logo, like with the eye and all that?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty crazy.
That'd be incredible.
I mean, I'm almost tempted to buy something myself, except they're charging $40 for a shirt. And also, I remember that I hate them. So, full disclosure. So, I actually did business with the parent company of Bitcoin Magazine many years ago. And then at some point, they pivoted to become like awful maxis. And it was just like a business decision, right? They decided, this is what we can do. And so since then...
This is what sells.
Yeah, well, I don't think it is what sells, but I think that they thought it would be a good direction to go in. Kind of like, I don't think those controversial Bud Light cans were really what sells anyway, but decided to try it and it didn't work out.
Right. Yeah, so. Yeah, correct. Yeah, but do you think this has actually been their well, yeah, let's call it controversial can. Do you think this has been the same for them? Or is it actually that they've done well under this new regime because it's kind of... I think this is what the Maxi wants to see, basically. Yes, and I absolutely. Do think most... Well, yeah, then the real question becomes what percentage of crypto is... actually a maxi, because arguably your maxi dose is a very intensive consumer, because they have to continue brainwashing themselves, so they have to all the time be consuming maxi news, maxi content, maxi podcasts. I don't know, it might be that it makes sense to be the source of news for maxis, man.
I think so, because everyone is crypto generic. Everyone does everything. So the only way you stand out is if you're maxi. Now, the other thing is maxis don't do anything with crypto at all.
No.
They hit buy on Swan.
They can't. That's about
it. Yeah, they just don't do anything. So your entire time is built on media and culture. They're all about podcasts and some books and just so... If you're like, if someone wants to like look at an Ethereum magazine, okay, fine, you get some info, but mostly you're going to go try to use Ethereum. You're going to try to, or use the L2s more honestly, but you're going to try to mint an NFT, do some weird stuff there, do some Uniswap trading, do whatever. You're going to try to do stuff. Whereas like the Bitcoiner, he just sits on his hoard like a dragon and then just like reads Bitcoin magazine and like, I don't know. Whatever. And so it might make sense for them. But the problem is if there's two Bitcoin magazines, that's when it stops making sense, because now you start to have people getting in and infringing on your brand and stuff like that. So, to really quick wrap up on the what I think will happen as a result, we'll see what happens. But I have a feeling the Fed is not going to be able to back down on this. I think they can, just because they're selling t-shirts and stuff, they can successfully shut down the store, and then they can just make Bitcoin Magazine have to shut up, and they get a lot of press out of it, but whatever, they sell out, but then, then they shut up, and then they might be risk averse in the future talking about this stuff. And it's not like people are going to stop using the Federal Reserve because they got pissed off because of Bitcoin Magazine. Like, no, it's like, their brand already is almost invisible, so they don't really care. So
yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, so nothing's really gonna come out of this besides more people being aware of FedNow and linking it to Bitcoin Magazine. Yeah, you're right. They probably if they don't currently, they're gonna end up controlling the public brand and the name of FedNow, which might result at some point. If you think about the dominoes meme, where you just have like a huge fucking domino in the end, which might result in the Fed now changing branding at some point and us talking about, I don't know, put a sinister name on it, like call it Smile or something like that. Gonna be interesting to see how this evolves. Then another thing you gotta think about is like, okay, just because banks in America agree to use this doesn't mean that the rest of the world is necessarily going to want to comply with using something like FedNow. So it might turn out that the whole thing gets shut down because it's just impractical in a globalized world and no one wants to use it. Then, of course, you have the whole debt situation, which might weaken the dollar. Do you think... let's just get like conspiranoid and not very rigorous here. How do you think that whole thing evolves? Like, does everyone stop using US dollars and we end up using Bitcoin or something like that? Do we go full on in Chinese yuans? What do you think happens if the US doesn't manage to solve its debt situation?
I don't know. I really don't know. Honestly, I think
my crazy theory is like basically you have a sorry for interrupting you there. My crazy theory is that we end up having like a situation where there's a bunch of competing currencies, one of them being Bitcoin or just like stable coins, but depegged from the dollar. And you just have like a whole mess where people are trying to figure out what to transact in, which happens in countries like Venezuela, Argentina. People use dollars for a certain thing and their local currency for another. And yeah, with competing currencies, eventually one of them accrues the necessary network effects to become number one. And it's never Bitcoin because the Lightning Network doesn't work and the fee scheme doesn't work either.
Yeah, I think probably it would have to do something with like getting rid of the dollar. Like, honestly, the first thing would be some kind of a debt negotiation thing with countries. I mean, because if you declare bankruptcy, for example, that means you can't pay your money. And so you have to come to terms with your creditors on like, okay, well, I can't pay you, but I can maybe do this for you. Now, what you could do with the U.S., what the U.S. could do is constantly do a soft bankruptcy where they don't actually go bankrupt, but they basically just say like, look, we can stop paying tomorrow and make up some bullshit reason and you just never get anything. So why don't we get rid of this debt in exchange for a couple things I give, you know, very minor things, and then they're in a very helpless position. I mean, the worst thing is like, what happens if, like, think about it. What happens if the U.S. goes to war with some, like China, let's just say. And this is just like killing me inside to even think that that could be a possibility, because I do not want a world war of any kind. But if you just said, now they're the enemy, now what, you're going to pay your debts to your enemy? Like, no, you get terrorist funding now if you pay back your debts. So then they just get to say, we're trying to kill you, so therefore we don't owe you anything. I mean,
that's nuts. It's nuts to think that, like, okay, at some point this whole thing doesn't matter, because obviously you do not want people shooting nukes at each other because of war. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, so what happens? Does like the debt doesn't count at all? Can you just like say, okay, well, yeah, I'm not gonna pay that, and we cannot go to war because we would end the world over this stupid thing? And
yeah,
you could argue that America doesn't have like strong leaders to, you know, have that conversation to begin with. It's crazy.
It's all a calculation of the reputational damage is in no one will lend to the U.S. in the future. But if you get out of all your past debt and just do a clean reset like that, that's when it gets really... it's really tough, but at some point there's going to be an implosion. Well, we have to wrap this thing up. Is there a 3-minute thing you could talk about this account abstraction thing, or is that kind of a bigger subject?
It's a bigger subject, and to be honest, I'm having fun talking geopolitics at the moment. Yes. We can just continue on those lines and do a deeper dive on account abstraction sometime.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we even do like a Twitter thread or a space or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, or if you point some in my direction, if I could do that. All right, so Shula Clock, follow you at Carlos Ken Cab at Twitter/X.
That's Twitter, right? And we are actually, I'm working at Particle Network these days, and we're building some cool stuff for Web3 UX. We're actually launching a podcast for the company, and we're going to be very focused on building Web3 products, building Web3 apps, not so much on the technology front that we always talk about, like Web3 infrastructure, layer ones, layer twos. We're kind of leaving all the stuff aside and just talking about what makes great products, what makes a great app. So if you guys are interested in that, check us out. We're going to be publishing the first episode of the podcast this Monday, I think, might be Tuesday, on the Particle Network Twitter. So check us out there. Podcast is going to be a cool one.
So it's Particle Network. So the network has no vowels, but at Particle
Network. Exactly. So, yeah, but we pronounce it exactly like that.
Not to be confused with Particle without the E at the end, which is a blockchain. The Particle.
Yeah. That's someone didn't get creative there. I have no clue who did it first. But I would think that taking out the E from the end is like the worst possible way to go around this.
Yeah. Well, at least there's only one Bitcoin, right?
There's only one Bitcoin. Depending on who you ask, it might be a different one.
All right. Well, fantastic. All right. Thanks, everyone, for watching. I have the Dash podcast coming up next with an old friend. So watch that if you want. And then we'll see next week. Thanks for being on, Carlos. I'll make sure to crash your show at some point. And yeah, everyone, have a good weekend, or see you in a couple minutes. Bye-bye.